You may be seated. Good afternoon. It feels so good to be back in God's house. And what a beautiful way to start the Word of God by worship. That beautiful worship that His people have together. And whenever we have that, it always gives me a clearer understanding when it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because we have that unity of mind, that unity of God's Spirit. And when we're together, it just is, where two or more, there I am in the midst of them, and God's Spirit multiplies. I'm very thankful for that. I just want to, someone asked me to do a reminder that church is also open on Wednesday for our Bible study, and that we also have a socially distanced mic. Our wonderful media tech people worked up a mic that you can answer or share your thoughts with everyone, and it's really working out well, so I'm very thankful for that. Another reminder that usually in January we have our business meeting, so put that in your calendars, and the dates will be sent out. The date and time will be sent out shortly. To begin with, as my pastor taught me, and I'm passing it on to you, let's bring our mind into captivity to God's Word. Wherever you are, take the time right now to attend to God 100%. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. It's because I've heard comments about people at home when God's Word is being taught, folding laundry, doing dishes. And I know it's easy to fall into that because you're home. And let's, you know, multitask. But use that time as if you are in church. And if you're on your cell phone, because I know a lot of people use their cell phones for their Bible, let that cell phone be 100% for God and His Word. Amen. Amen. Today's teaching is entitled, Ready or Not, Here I Come. I don't know if children still play the game of tag that I played when I was a child, where everyone went and hid while one person counted to 10 or whatever the number was. And then that person would yell out, ready or not, here I come. That phrase kept coming to my mind as I was praying about the teaching. Ready or not, here I come. But my spiritual mind said to me, ready or not, here Jesus comes. And today, together, I want us to look at the second coming of Jesus through the Word of God. Because Jesus is coming again, whether we are ready or not. Since Jesus left this earth, mankind has been looking for and waiting for His return. That was prophesied in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when Jesus died, He was about 33 and a half years old. As of this year, 2021, it has been approximately 1,991 years since Jesus died on the cross. So for approximately 1,991 years, the return of Jesus has been talked about and taught from the Word of God. Now that should show you the long suffering of our God, and that He is not willing that any should perish, in that He has given mankind 1,991 years so that all should come to repentance And Paul taught this last week in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. You remember. So beginning in the New Testament, turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Acts tells us exactly what Jesus did after he died on the cross, before he ascended into heaven. And now we know he shed his blood for you and me so that we could receive what Jesus had been teaching his disciples during his short time on earth. He taught them about the promise of the Father. Reading Acts chapter 1, starting with verses 1 through 3. The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Luke is writing everything he knows about Jesus. He writes about his life. He writes about his words. Luke is doing exactly what Jesus told him and the other disciples to go and do. I want you to hold your place here and turn a couple of books back to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to go through verses 44 through 49. Because I want to read exactly what Jesus told Luke and the disciples. Reading Luke chapter 24 and verses 44 and 45 to begin. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Jesus told them that everything that was ever written about him would be fulfilled. Jesus opened their understanding to understand the scriptures because they had not received the promise of the Father that would give them understanding into all that Jesus had taught them. Verses 46 through 49. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Jesus told them that they would be witnesses of the gospel message, which is what Jesus said right here, repentance and remissions of sins in Jesus' name. But before they could be witnesses, also called ministers of reconciliation, also called ambassadors for Christ, they had to be endued with power from on high. They had to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. Turn back to Acts chapter 1. Luke tells us that Jesus, during his time on earth, spoke about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Reading verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Here Jesus is assembled, and he commands them not to leave Jerusalem, and they are to wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus had been teaching them about. I truly wish that we still lived in a time where God's people would allow a command from God or from God's word. Because God's commands are always for your own good. God's commands are there to keep you from sin that would destroy you and separate you from God. God's commands are there to help and guide you to the kingdom of God. Going on in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Again, this is a question about the future. We studied this a couple of weeks ago in the teaching. So what's next? What's going to happen next? God's people are always asking questions about what's going to happen next. They want to be prepared, so you ask. In verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. We will not know the exact hour or day, but God does give us signs to look for, and we've been studying about those. That is what God has been putting on your teachers' hearts to teach to you. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, called Alaska. Power comes after we receive the Holy Ghost. Understanding of God's word comes after we receive the Holy Ghost. How many of you have ever testified to that? I never understood that Bible till I got the Holy Ghost. This is what Jesus spoke to his followers about for 3.5 years, and again after he arose from the dead for those 40 days. He spoke about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, which we just read in verse 3, and the promise of the Father, which we read in verse 4. Going on, verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now that gives me goosebumps when I read that. That same Jesus, 1,991 years ago or so, approximately, is going to come back in that same manner. He ascended into heaven. His message hasn't changed for all those years. Ready or not, here he comes. Turn to Mark chapter 13 and verses 32 and 33. How can we be ready? For 1,991 years, God's people were told to make themselves ready. Reading verses 32 and 33, Mark chapter 13. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. These same words are found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Same words. We are taught to be ready every day. We need to be ready at all times. In verse 33, we are taught how we can be ready. Watch and pray. It sounds so simple. Jesus taught this to his followers, and we, his followers, will continue to teach this same message as God's people have taught this message for 1,991 years. Watch and pray, because ready or not, here he comes. Turning to Luke chapter 12, verses 31 through 34. Every gospel teaches God's people to watch and pray. Every gospel. God's people understood that they needed to be ready at all times because they were taught to be ready. Reading in Luke chapter 12, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Instead of worrying about the things in life that you cannot change, seek the kingdom of God and trust God for everything in your life. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love the way Jesus says this. Fear not, little flock. That's a pastor's heart. That's full of compassion and love and care. Looking at you, an individual, knowing your wants and your needs. Fear not. God does not want you to live in fear. Fear of what if? What if I get the virus? Well, I got it. My husband got it. What if? There's always going to be what ifs in our lives. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Read that again. Verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not only does it please your God to give you his kingdom spiritually, but it pleases God to give to you in your natural lives also. Think about it. Think about your natural life. How God has blessed you. God created a beautiful world for his creation, us. We are his creation. He created this beautiful world that we live in to enjoy while we are here. Why do you think so many people want to go to Hawaii for vacation? Or any place that has a beautiful climate, warm sun, fresh fruit, fragrant trees and flowers, places that are called a tropical paradise. This is God's creation, and it pleases God that we should enjoy his creation. When I think of Hawaii, I think about a place that is close to what the Garden of Eden must have been like, where God walked with his creation in the beauty of that garden that he created to please man and woman, you and I. going on in Luke chapter 12 and verses 33 and 34. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where you put most of your time, that is what is important to you. And that is what will determine if you are ready or not. Turn to Luke chapter 21, verses 33 through 36. Jesus warns us of what will keep us from being ready. Reading Luke chapter 21, and to begin with verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Verse 33 says that every word from the Bible will be fulfilled. You can trust in that. Paul taught on one of my scriptures for tonight last week, and it was in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. But tonight, I want you to hold your place here and turn with me to the Old Testament, to Psalms chapter 90 and verse 4. Because you will see from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God's word does not change. Reading Psalm chapter 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Now we just read that last week, only it was in the New Testament. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day to the Lord. For the last 1,991 years, almost 2,000 years to us, and how we understand and feel years, but it's only been almost 2 days to God. 2 days. We here have only been waiting for a mere 40 to 60 human years, some of us less, some more, while we wait for his return, and we are getting ready. Or we should be getting ready. The message has not changed for almost 2,000 years, and it will not change. Every word that you've been taught, however long that you've been here or serving God, will be fulfilled. Every word. We just read it. Jesus said it. Turn back to Luke chapter 21. And reading verses 34 and 35. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Take heed. Listen carefully. Be steadfast. Be prepared. Be ready. So when that day comes, you won't be caught unaware. Because ready or not, here he comes. Verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Here is how we get ready, and here is how we stay ready. Watch and pray always. Watch. The word watch means to keep guard, to look with attention or steadiness, to look with expectation. Expectation, wanting Jesus to return, looking for his return, and always being ready for his return. To watch is to keep guard, to keep guard of your soul. That's how we get ready. That's how we stay ready. To watch is to look with attention and steadiness. Don't give up while we live in these times of sorrows. And pray always. How many times have you heard your pastor and teachers tell you this, teach you this? Pray always. For almost 2,000 years, God's people have been taught to pray always. This message from the Word of God and from his pastors and his teachers will never change. Watch and pray. We get ready by praying always, because ready or not, here Jesus comes. Turn to Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Ready or not, here he comes. Ask yourself today, are you ready? Are you ready according to God's word? Reading Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Whether I see the fulfillment of all the Word of God in my lifetime does not change a thing about how the Word of God is taught. Whether Jesus returns in 1 year, 5 years, 10, 50, it will not change a thing about the Word of God and God's message that is to be taught. To be ready at all times, watch and pray. Going on to verses 12 and 14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let us walk honestly. Let us walk godly. And we do this by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Robe ourselves with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You know most of these by heart. The fruits of the Spirit, qualities that come when you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. It's who God is. If we put on these fruits every day, we will be ready at all times. Amen. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Paul continued to teach the churches to be ready by watching and praying. Reading 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Paul's words to the Corinthians are to watch, to be on the alert, to stand firm in the faith. Quit you like men and women, that just means be strong in God, be devoted. We've been studying about devoted. What is a devout person in our Wednesday Bible study? If you haven't heard the last two, you should get that so you'll have an understanding of what that means. My strength comes from the Holy Spirit of God that I receive just like the followers of Jesus did on the day of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter. That's how come I can be strong. That's how come I can do what Paul taught the Corinthian church. How I can watch, be on my guard, stand fast, and quit you like men, just be strong. That's all that means. This strength is the promise of the Father that Jesus taught his followers to go and wait for. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. That's your power to lead an overcoming life. Turn over to Jude. It's the last book before Revelations. Verses 14 through 23. Reading verses 14 through 16 in Jude. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Ready or not, here he comes to execute judgment upon the ungodly. That's what we just read. But you might say, and as I've heard from people many times over the years, well, but your God, God's a God of love. God wouldn't do that. Mankind wants to choose the parts of God that they want. The blessings, the love, the fellowship. But the word of God says, Behold the goodness and the severity of God. Yes, verse 15 is a part of who God is. Hold your place here. Turn back to Romans chapter 11. Verse 22, because I don't want you to just believe my words that I'm teaching. I don't want you to believe me. But I want the word of God to teach you who your God is. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. If you walk in the ways of God, if you walk in what God has taught to his people for the last 1,991 years, then you will receive all the goodness, all the blessings that God's word tells us. because ready or not, here he comes. Turn back to Jude and reading verses 17 through 19. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, that just means worldly, having not the Spirit. This was not that long ago, after Jesus died, and Jude is teaching to remember the words of the apostles that they taught about Jesus. Almost 2,000 years later, I'm telling you the same. Remember the word of God that you have been taught, taught with understanding and wisdom that God has given to this body of believers. Understanding and wisdom that comes from God. Going on to verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We build ourselves up. That means that we grow. You don't stay where you're at when you first get the Holy Ghost. It's a continual growth process. You walk with God, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. We grow day by day in God. We grow in our faith. We grow in our prayers. We grow as we spend time with God. We grow as we study God's word. Amen. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we do this? By watching and praying. Loving God, loving one another. When we do that, we will receive mercy from God, and we will receive eternal life. Verse 22 and 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear. Fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. What does this mean? It means exactly what Jesus taught to his followers that we read in Luke. It means that God's people, you and me, will be witnesses among all nations. Witnesses of the promise of the Father, which is you will receive power to live an overcoming life when you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Just like the first Christians did on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, the second chapter. There are different ways to witness to people. Compassion reaches some people. Fear will reach others. You use whatever God guides you to use to witness to a soul that does not have the promise of the Father. Because ready or not, here he comes. You may be their last chance to hear the salvation plan. Amen. Their last chance. Going to Revelations chapter 1. Verses 5 through 8. Revelation, starting at verse 5 and 6, chapter 1. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus was the first witness. And for 1,991 years, there have been many witnesses to follow him, including you and me. Witnesses. Witnesses of this salvation plan. Going on to verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He comes with clouds. He comes back in the clouds the same way he left. And that was the very first scripture that we read today in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Ready or not, here Jesus comes. Verse 8, and this is my final scripture for this afternoon. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Praise God. We're still here today, and we still have time to get ready. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost like they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter, then you still have time to get ready and reach out for that infilling of God's Spirit. If you've let your oil of the Holy Ghost run low, then you still have time to get ready. Get ready by watching and praying every day. Because saints, ready or not, here Jesus comes. Amen. God bless you all.